Father God, as we open up this word today, would you open our hearts to everything that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us? We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what this church needs is more Holy Spirit. I think this is another of those stories that we can gloss over when we hear them because we've heard it so many times before. We put it in the realm of amazing event of history, but many of us, perhaps most of us, don't really live with a high expectation that God still wants to work this way and that God still wants to do the very things we see him do on Pentecost Day or that we read about. Now, some of us may be impressed by the awesomeness of the supernatural elements of the story, the wind, the tongues of fire, the speaking in languages that everybody understood. Others of us may be more impressed by the second half of the passage where the impact of it all was 3,000 being added to their number and the radically transformed lives. But let me tell you, St. Hilary's family, we should be amazed by the whole thing. And yet at the same time, we should find it unsurprising because it's part of the way and the character of God. Since the foundation of the world, God has been intervening in history in spectacular ways to achieve his purposes, to make himself known and to draw all creation to himself. Pentecost, what we sometimes call the birthday of the church, is one of those explosive events where we see all of God's purpose and power and presence bubble up and burst forth. And since that time, and since the beginning of time, God has continued to do this. However, often our Western rationalist minds are inclined to downplay or minimize and explain why we shouldn't pay too much attention to the supernatural elements of the story. No, 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 no. What our church needs is more of the Holy Spirit. Now, if that makes you uneasy, remember that the Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures as well as the one who empowers people with these supernatural signs that we read about today. You are not anti-intellectual if you look for the supernatural, and you don't need to be uninterested in biblical formation and study if you're a very spiritual person. That's a false dichotomy. Theologians for years have tried to draw lines around the Holy Spirit. You know, does the believer receive the Spirit when they make their first confession to Christ? Do they receive the Spirit at baptism or perhaps confirmation? What, can one confess Jesus as Lord without the Holy Spirit? Can you have the Holy Spirit and not yet have made a commitment to Jesus? And the Acts of the Apostles gives us dozens of stories where the Holy Spirit moves in ways that people were not expecting, that does things out of the order that they were expecting. And we'll be exploring many of them in this teaching series. So I will pray at the end of the message today that we would, as a church, but also individually, be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit today. Because that's what the Bible tells us to do, to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because what this church needs is more of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't take that as a criticism. Most churches do. Without the Holy Spirit, we fail to take faithful risks. We can become complacent. We stick to what we know. We struggle to be truly innovative. We may preach the gospel, but we struggle to do the gospel as well as we once did. In today's passage, Peter's preaching is intricately linked to the doing of the gospel. Souls were saved that day and people's lives transformed, conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. And that, like every church on the planet, is our challenge today, to see tangible fruit for our gospel work. Because it's my fervent belief that you can have all the vision statements and strategic documents and roadmaps in the world, but when gospel work produces tangible gospel fruit, people come, people give, lives are transformed, And people don't have to be persuaded and cajoled to get on board. They're just drawn in like a magnet to sheet metal. A really positive example of this in our church is the Hope Food Drive. That program has so many runs on the board, it's so tangible, its vision so unmistakable, that both church members and agnostic community members alike just say, sign me up. And with due respect to the Food Drive Committee, the project practically runs itself. More or less. Conversely, so many of the other initiatives in our church feel like a constant, please, please, can you come and help me with this ministry? Please, can we have volunteers for this? Please, can you support this? What this church needs is more Holy Spirit. Now, let me get really real. Now, that's my jam. I want to be real today. I've spent nearly 2 years going for walks with people, sitting in cafes with people since we could do that again, running strategic processes, canvassing opinions, poring over stats. And however you look at it, over the past 10 years, our numbers have been in decline, our giving has been in decline, staff have moved on who haven't been replaced, our buildings have been in decline until some recent works that have been done. Most of our programs are tired. Many complain that pastoral needs go unmet, but thankfully that's changing. Others complain that they or their friends were not welcomed well when they came into the church. Connect groups can be hard to break into. Our spaces where we meet are often treated with little care, so people leave without kind of caring, like taking pride in them looking good and being in good order. And it could be argued that we spend too much money on the wrong things. So I'm painting a bleak picture. There's plenty of positive too, but I share this list with you today for two reasons. Firstly, because I believe that there are many faithful praying people in this church who are praying for another revival, and I think we should join them in that prayer. Secondly, because only the Holy Spirit can bring the gospel shift, that change in trajectory that we would all delight to behold. In my meeting with people, I know we have heaps of smart, godly, strategic, organized people within our church family who could help us solve all these problems logically and methodically. But only the Holy Spirit can come in power and renew our hearts and minds, bring us to a place of confession and restoration, and transform us into a genuinely Spirit-led community. So how do we do it? Let me suggest that there are three very tangible and relevant lessons from today's passage that model to us how to be a Spirit-led community. The first is we need to brace ourselves for the unexpected. Then we need to lean into the Spirit's power rather than our own. And third, we have to start measuring success in terms of gospel transformation instead of bums on seats and money in the bank. I'll say that again. We need to brace ourselves for the unexpected. We need to lean into the Spirit's power rather than our own. And we need to start measuring success in terms of gospel transformation rather than numbers and money. So let's start with brace ourselves for the unexpected. The supernatural events in the first section of today's passage were prophesied by the prophet Joel about 400 years earlier and promised by Jesus to the disciples 10 days earlier. And yet how the Spirit came and what he did on Pentecost Day still surprised everyone, including those in the room who were the first to receive him. The question asked by a bewildered crowd that gathered there was, how is it that each of us hears these Galileans in our native tongue? And the answer is, by the power of the Holy Spirit. When I say our church needs more Holy Spirit, I understand the Holy Spirit as being that creative, empowering, equipping third person of the Godhead. He has all the power and all the authority of God the Father and God the Son, but he is the person of the Trinity by which we are able to have God's peace and God's power and God's presence with us every day. The power that raised Jesus from the dead resides within us by the Holy Spirit. The intimacy of being able to call God Father and meet him anywhere and at any time exists because the Holy Spirit resides within us. And later in this service, there will be opportunities to be prayed for by some of our prayer team members, and they can pray for very specific wisdom or healing or insight in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have heard me share this story or elements of this story before, but at an early stage of our ministry at our previous church, the Lord revealed to my wife, Heather, who was at the time the congregational leader of the church, that he was going to grow the community through Spirit-led worship and youth ministry. Now, you might think that's a pretty solid plan, that's not rocket science, but what was extraordinary was the context. Our paid organist had just left the church because we were no longer able to pay him. The small, dwindling choir had mostly followed him, and we were left playing backing tracks and YouTube videos on Sunday morning, and there wasn't a single teenager in our church. For all intents and purposes, this was an inconceivable strategy that any one of us would have been foolish to suggest, and yet it was what the Holy Spirit was showing us. And yet, little by little, over the next few years, that's exactly what God began to do in unexpected, you might even say, impossible ways. And these two areas became a significant focus of ministry for the next few years, and a means by which the ministry grew. We saw lives transformed, people received Jesus, and people's enthusiasm for both the gospel and Christian service grow. It was utterly unexpected, unexplainable from what we walked into when we first became part of that church. What this church needs is more Holy Spirit. Because if we pray expectantly, for the Holy Spirit to show up, if we expect him to guide the church, if we expect him to inspire us and empower us to do the work that is closest to God's heart for the people in our sphere of influence, then he will. Perhaps the most unexpected thing that he has done here at St. Hilary's, certainly from my perspective, and I suspect from some of yours too, is appoint me as the spiritual leader of the church. I certainly wasn't number one on the list. I don't think I was on the list, which is fine. But personally, I experienced the Holy Spirit doing something unexpected. And because he's done unexpected things in my life before, I recognized the signs and responded to the invitation. And so even though I had grief about leaving my previous ministry and mixed feelings about what it would mean to lead St. Hilary's, I came. And since I've been here, I have tried, as well as I know how, to continue to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Some people would say, he's too slow. What's he actually doing? Others will say various versions of he's too nice or too risk averse to really change anything. Now, some of that might be a fair criticism, but I believe that real change takes time and preparation. It takes trust building. It requires taking people with you, and ultimately takes a willingness to let the Holy Spirit inform the plan, allowing him to do the unexpected things that he wants to do. All the work that I've been doing over the past 2 years, much of it unseen, has been the outworking of prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." But he never said that it would happen in my timeline or that I would get easy answers. The most dominant theme that I've discerned is that in our ministry and our outreach, we need to tangibly position ourselves as one church. Most of our language, our literature, and our online material presents St. Hills in this way. But our reality on the ground is that we spread ourselves thinly to reproduce our efforts across multiple campuses, congregations, and ministries. One of our strengths is our overall size, which genuinely comprises all generations, many ethnic backgrounds, and at least two dominant language groups, and corporately a big heart to see lives transformed. Additionally, we've got a good track record, but we can't rely on that. We need to fix our eyes on today's challenges and seek the Holy Spirit in what that's going to look like in this next season. This is a major focus of the parish council, who have been working really hard in this season to determine the best way to celebrate the strength of the dispersed ministry while also finding creative ways to build a more united yet still multifaceted culture that positions us well to reach people with the good news of Jesus in this current season. I can assure you that there is some really excellent and bold work being done at present, and that we are getting very close to being able to share it with the broader church. So that's point number one, brace yourself for the unexpected. Number two, lean into the Spirit's power instead of our own. I've already said a lot about this, so I'll keep this point a bit briefer. Before Pentecost Day, the disciples of Jesus were locked in a room, fearful of how they would be received and how they were supposed to carry on the ministry of Jesus. But they did one thing well. They were fervent in prayer while they waited. And when the Spirit came, everything changed. Fear was transformed into courage. The Holy Spirit provided power, the means, the language, the words for Peter and the others to speak a compelling message. And the supernatural result were people responding very quickly and making commitments then and there to follow Jesus with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Sometimes I think the universal church today is a bit like the disciples in that room before the Holy Spirit came. We sit in our often small church groups and we pray, but we're scared. Fearful of causing offence, fearful of rejection, fearful of how the gospel translates into our culture today, fearful that our message might be deemed irrelevant, fearful of how we can navigate a secular culture. And friends, they're all real fears. I'm not casting doubt on that. But we'd be foolish to not acknowledge them. Witnessing the good news today is harder than it was in years gone by. And yet, as we look out into our communities, we just see so many people hurting, struggling, searching for answers in all the wrong places. Surely we are convicted that people today need the good news of Jesus more than ever. Again, we can innovate large-scale ministries, and there's certainly a place for that. But surely the starting point is to ask God who or which people group is he putting on our hearts and the hearts of those who worship in this church today, and ask God for the courage and the resources to start to love the one that he's placed in front of us, no matter how hard it is to love that person or that group. On Monday week, the 5th of June, we have our monthly prayer night, our next monthly prayer night. Praise God, it's about 10 times the size it was when I started here, but I'd like to see it be 100 times the size, 1,000 times the size. It should be the single most important thing we do each month, and the reason it should be the single most important thing we do each month is because it's dedicated time of pressing in and waiting to hear what the Spirit wants us to be doing. Despite our financial challenges at the moment, we are an affluent church. It's easy to throw money at problems. But what happens when we do this is we become less reliant on God. We no longer say, give us today our daily bread. We say, you know, here's the budget to do the thing. There is no problem we are facing right now that God does not already have a solution for. Join me and the leadership team on the 5th of June and let's pray in revival. Let's really honestly and faithfully lean into the Spirit's power and not our own, and then let's brace ourselves for what only he can do. So brace yourself for the unexpected, lean into the Spirit's power rather than your own, and finally start measuring success in terms of gospel transformation rather than numbers and money. Now you can't argue with the strategy of Acts 2. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, a message is preached. It's received in multiple language without all the hours of translation and without pro-presenter and all the work that went into that this morning. A clear call to belief and repentance is given. People respond. 3,000 are saved. And immediately, evidence of transformed lives is tangibly observed by all inside and outside the community. A few days ago, Heather and I heard the sad but not unexpected news that our previous church will close. I don't have time to tell you all the things that the Holy Spirit did while we were there, but let me tell you the thing that I and most thankful for. We had been there for just shy of 10 years, and when we left, we handed the keys back to a group of 6 leaders, all of whom were under the age of 40, most of whom were not believers when we started, and all of whom were not part of the church when we started. 4 of them we had personally led to faith and baptized, 2 of whom were heading into Bible college, 1 of them was launching a new outreach ministry to artists, and 1 of them was a church warden. Another woman who wasn't part of the group was about to take up her first ministry role in another church. Most people won't hear that part of the story. They'll hear the church closed. But I think it's the story God most cares about. It's the gospel transformation part of the story. And that's the thing that we need to care most about. It's appropriate for the parish council, the annual meeting, to receive results of finances and attendance. What's harder to measure, but 100% needs to be measured, is how many people are coming to faith each year, how many people have experienced significant growth in their discipleship journey, and how many people have been released into new ministry and mission. These numbers are low at the moment at St. Hilary's, but they needn't be, because many are working very hard and many are praying that the Lord would do this work. Again, part of the work that I'm doing with the parish council is looking at how do we harness the work and reorder our systems and processes to give this maximum attention and priority. And while I can't share all the details, let me tell you what I can tell you. Tavis has a draft of a very impressive discipleship plan that we want to roll out shortly. Richard has led the staff through a process of implementing an evangelism strategy. Amanda and the CAFM team are developing a renewed approach to discipling children and young families. Kane is working on an exciting resource for Connect Group Ministry. A group of staff are working together on perfecting a welcome and next steps ministry. And the parish council is working on pastoral, systemic and structural change to enable these initiatives to have maximum impact and the necessary resources to do them. For those worried that not much is happening, please stop worrying and let's pray about it. When I read the final verses of today's passage about the way the believers lived and served and worshipped and the Lord adding to their numbers daily those who are being saved, that's what I want for St. Hilary's, and I think it's what you want for St. Hilary's as well. And to do that, what this church needs is more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may it be so for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Just as the band are coming back on stage, can I invite you to stand for a moment where you are? Just stand. I just want to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us afresh this morning. And if you're really open to receiving today, you might just like to hold your hands out like this. Maybe close your eyes. This is just a posture that says I'm ready to receive. But we just pray, come Holy Spirit. We just want to be a church that's alive in the Holy Spirit. We have seen so many moves of the Spirit over the history of St. Hilary's, and we want to see it again. We know that we can't do this just in our own strength or just in our own resources. So we pray now, come Holy Spirit. It's the prayer of Pentecost, actually. Come Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts, fill our minds, fill our bodies. Send the people that you want to send. Raise up the people that you want to raise. Bring people to confession, repentance and faith in you so that we can be the transformed community that you call us to be. Come, Holy Spirit. We just give him a minute to do anything that he wants to do in the room right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Keep filling us afresh, Holy Spirit. In all the challenge, and in all the difficulty, and all the trials, you are God, and we just pray that we would just follow you with reckless abandon. Come, Holy Spirit, provide everything we need. Send down your gifts, empower us, reawaken what needs to be reawakened, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.